Well, thank you to everyone who has led us already in worship today. Good morning. It is good to be together to worship as a body of Christ. Well, this passage was one of about five that I was debating choosing as the basis for my sermon last week. And then on Tuesday this week, I saw that it's one of the lectionary passages for today. And I said, oh, okay, let's live into this. So there's a lot that we could cover. We're going to just start with these first four verses of the whole passage. I wonder if anybody here has ever been a part of a three-legged race. I see some smiles. Some of you know what I mean. It's where, I remember this as a kid, somebody would tie my leg to somebody else's so that we would have one leg between us and then our two outside legs. A three-legged race. So if we were to envision this here at Zion, out on the ball field after the worship service, the people who can go the fastest together are the ones who go about the same pace, and they're in tune and in step with one another. They're paying attention to the needs of the person that they're tied to. And of course, there's always that one person who has the authority and power now that they're attached to somebody else who misuses that and wants to go in a totally different direction, right? To win the race, we have to be moving in the same direction. When I want to show us today that there is a different way to race. Today there will be Olympic athletes competing across the track, and they won't be tied to someone else with their legs. And the presidential race that we've heard about, we can watch to see until November how well they run with the people that they are to serve. In the race of life, Paul implores us to live a life worthy of our calling. And by that, he doesn't mean seek your own happiness at all costs. Our culture keeps selling us half-truths that we are in a race for ourselves, and if others get jerked around because of our need for our happiness, so be it. As Anabaptist followers of Jesus, we have been running in a different kind of race for almost 500 years. In our race, we are yoked together with Jesus on one side and yoked on the other side to the people in our community. A three-legged race. We're going to come back to that. That's the invitation of these verses. So I decided to Google how many people the average person knows, and sure enough, the Wall Street Journal had done a study back in the fall, almost a year ago, that the average person knows about 611 different people. That's going to be a lot of people to link arms or legs with. It's going to be a pretty slow race. We're going to need every bit of humility and gentleness and patience that the passage talks about in order to do this well. It reminds me of a story that my dad told me about a month before he died. This past week was the one-year anniversary of his unexpected passing. And I used to think that my race in life was to run as fast and as hard as I could and get as much done as possible. And I'm learning that's a really bad way to run. That's not how we live worthy of our call. So the story that my dad told me about, he heard from Nelson Krabel, who was formerly the president of Mennonite World Conference, and he wrote the book called Stuck Together, The Hope of Christian Witness in a Polarized World. Well, one summer night when Nelson was a child, His father learned that some people were helping themselves to gasoline from the tank on their family farm that was intended for the vehicles on the farm. And so his dad, figuring this out, that somebody is stealing from him, gets some fishing line and strings it across the entrance to his driveway, takes it all the way back to his house, through the bedroom window, and ties it to the alarm clock. Sure enough, about midnight, the alarm clock goes off. He jumps out of bed, he goes over to where the tank is, he creeps over there, and he sees that there's some young guys in the truck, and he sees that there's a guy taking gas from him. So he turns on his flashlight, hoping to get a glimpse to be able to read the license plate so he can see who this is. When he does, he sees that the license plate is bent so that he can't see anything there, and the flashlight scares the thieves away, and the truck takes off, and the guy who was taking the gas is left to run through the cornfield all the way home. A few days later, Nelson's dad is downtown. He sees a vehicle. It looks very similar to what he'd seen the other night. Sure enough, there's a crease on the license plate that matches where it had been bent. So he goes in the store where the young people are, and he sits down with them, and he talks with them. They get to know each other a little bit. And then he says, "So where were you all on Friday night?" And they say, "Oh, we weren't near your farm at all." He says, "Well, you know, if that's the case, my wife and I would love to have you over. She would love to serve you some ice cream. Would you come on over to the farm? We'd love to sit together." An unexpected invitation gets an unexpected yes. Soon they're all gathered around the Craybill table, and after all the ice cream has been eaten, Nelson's dad says to the young men, "You know, I think you all have been stealing gasoline from me." Now, they never acknowledged that anything had happened, but as they were cleaning up the dishes after the young men had left, there was a $5 bill under one of the dishes, more than enough in the 1950s to pay for a full tank of gas. And actually, a few years after that, one of the men came to Nelson's dad and apologized for stealing from him. We are in a race not against each other, but with each other. We are in a race yoked to Jesus on one side and the 611 people on the other side that we're in community with. And there are several reasons why this matters right now for us, and I pray it brings you hope. First, the three-legged race we're in with Jesus and the 611 people that we know is Paul's idea. Here he is, thank you, Dave, literally chained to a guard. And yet what he's speaking about is being bound to Christ. He calls it prisoner for the Lord. He didn't choose whether or not he was going to be chained to the guard, but he is choosing to be bound to Christ. Every person Paul knew was impacted by that choice. Paul cares not just about our vertical relationship with God, he cares about our horizontal relationships with one another. Both are essential. Paul writes that in our relationships with one another, peace is the bond that makes unity last. I'll give you an example. This past week, I missed a meeting with the Gifts and Appointments Committee. Since 2016, when I first became pastor, I think it's the first time I've ever missed a meeting. I thought that my son and our family would be done moving our son to his first apartment. I thought we'd be done by 5 or 5:30. This was all going to work out fine. I think it was like 8 or 8:30 when we got home. I checked my schedule of what else I was going to be doing that night. I felt terrible to see that I had completely missed the meeting that was now over. So I emailed the group apologizing, and the first person emailed me back and said, "No problem. When we put it together that you were moving Jonathan today, we figured that might have happened. We know you had a really busy week last week, and we're glad that you could spend time with your family tonight." It's grace, undeserved. They also wrote that all the positions for next year have been filled. That made me feel better too, yes. And then the second person emailed back. And they said, "Missed you, Sarah. You were doing important work. Best to Jonathan and to your family during this transition." Wow. That impacts how I think about my work. That impacts my relationships with my family. The gentleness, patience, bearing with me that I received strengthens how I live. We may not be able to see a tangible difference that we make in wars around the world, and yet the impact of our choices make a difference for every 611 in our circle and maybe beyond. The way we live worthy of our calling is by practicing peace, by giving ice cream to people who steal, by forgiving people who make mistakes, by learning another person's language instead of wanting to be the boss of everybody. Now, of course, it's way more complicated than this. We need boundaries. Systemic evil must be condemned. And giving grace to people who hurt us and our loved ones is extremely difficult, which is why we need the strength that comes when we are linked together with Jesus on the one side and our community on the other. So I invite you to think of someone who really frustrates you, maybe even someone who makes you angry. And if you're willing, I invite you to consider how you could show gentleness, patience, bearing with that person. These are the overlooked, ordinary actions that build peace and free us from the bond of unforgiveness. We are people who have been called from death to life. Death no longer has a hold on us anymore unless we allow it to. Wholeness and reconciliation are possible. Jesus proved that. So I want to share one last story with you that grew my hope as I studied and reflected. There's a church that I want to tell you about where God is at work. Now, we know that today churches continue to fracture and divide. We see it in our denominations, many denominations, including our own. We see this in many conferences, including our own. Just a few weeks ago, 10 congregations left our conference or were closed. Many of us have even experienced this in our own congregations. Disagreements about which race we are running can be very painful for everyone involved. And when people are in pain, it's even more difficult to be humble and gentle and patient. So it took me by surprise this week to recognize what God has been doing in this particular congregation. This is a small church located about 10 miles north of Harrisonburg. They have had their struggles in relationships. However, as I thought about the last 5 years for this congregation, I noticed God has been at work. The bonds of peace in their relationships have grown. The people in this church are practicing being humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another. The race that they are running puts energy into keeping the unity of the Spirit that the Spirit has given them. Not uniformity, but unity. It doesn't say one belief, it says one faith, one body, one Lord, one God, one Spirit. Because of what God has done in and through their relationships with one another and with God, they are running faster toward the goal, the same goal. In the last year alone, this small church has provided food in our local community, in Harrisonburg, to refugees and to persons who are homeless. They have walked alongside a Bridge of Hope family. They have supported crisis ministries, a ministry for young mothers, Mennonite Action, Valley Interfaith Action. They've collaborated with churches and Vacation Bible School and youth service trips with Mennonite Disaster Service. They knotted comforters and packed hygiene kits with MCC that will go around the world. And I hope God is just getting started. This congregation is learning how to walk in a three-legged race with Jesus and our neighbors at our side. Thanks be to God.